you're a guest with us this morning, we're thrilled you're here and invite you to be with us all the time and every time. Normally, I bring some jokes, have some fun. I intend to have some fun this morning, too. But this morning is not a joking morning. I believe there are times in our lives, as the body of Christ, where we are at crossroads. I am convinced that we are at such a time. Now, I'm going to say some things this morning very directly, things that we need to be aware of as the body of Christ. You may prefer I teach a more Memorial Day kind of topic-y thing. I will touch on Memorial Day because lives have been bled and spilt on our behalf. And lest those things be in vain, as a nation and as a people, we need to awake. And we are at a very sincere crossroads in the body of Christ. And there are things happening in the body of Christ in prayer movements, in apostolic prayer movements, over the next 45 days that I think are absolutely cataclysmic, vital, and dynamic for what God is going to do in this nation and in the church. And what I intend to do is bring some perspective of Scripture, and then I'm going to do some quoting from some newsletters because I think some of the things are things we all need to be aware of. I think how we respond, I believe as your pastor, how we respond over the next 45 days to what the Spirit is saying will either allow us to participate in what God is doing and we get to be a part, or we can just go on merrily as normal. And anyone is welcome here at any time. We have a good time. But let me ask it this way. How many want to be involved in what God's doing? How many really want to be involved in what God's doing? How many want to be involved in what God's doing so much that you're willing to let your life change? How many feel like they changed already just by coming to church this morning? I changed two or three times before I decided what to wear. I know I did. Anyway, we had some serious business this morning. Pentecost Sunday, I will dare say we need the Spirit of the Lord more than ever before to fall upon us. Now, a craftsman with furniture, a finished carpenter with woodwork, a master plumber with the jobs that they have in front of them, every one of those people use the right tool for the job. Ever had a big job in front of you, but the wrong tool? Right job, wrong tool? Right tool for a different job, not that job. How frustrating is it? Guys, let me hear it. How frustrating? Very frustrating. You can work with your brawn all day long, but it's easier to work with your brain and bring the right tool. Amen? A golfer must use the right club, the right iron, the right wood. Isn't that right, Dean? Now, I will confess to you that I could use the right wood and the right iron all day long. It wouldn't make a bit of difference. It's not that it's the wrong tool, it's the wrong guy holding the tool. Haphazard living yields haphazard results at best. The old phrase says, aim at nothing, and that's what you'll hit. How many want to be the right tool in God's hand? God's about business and about building and about doing some things. Over the next weeks and months, I believe God's called us to a series called The Prophetic Purpose. God's prophetic purpose. This morning, we are on serious business. Too many of us live like we are masters of our own destiny. And if I might just step aside from the pulpit for a moment and walk out here in front of you, I think you could all look at me and say a hearty amen. We have a nation that has gone awry from the purposes of God because we believe we are masters of our own destiny instead of living for the master's destiny. God's got a plan for your life, for mine, and even for our nation in this earth. And how many realize that plan is in danger of never coming to pass? Now, I believe in the grace of God. You know that. We spent years building foundations on the grace of God. For by grace are ye saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, we don't need to recover that ground this morning. I'm not talking works Christianity. But do you understand, and I'm confident that you do, your works demonstrate the fact that you have been a recipient of that grace. We've got to cooperate in that daily walk with God. It is a daily walk, and my daily choices in my walk with the Lord will determine whether a destiny is fulfilled or a destiny is missed. I'm not talking about whether or not you're heaven bound. All right? You can be heaven-bound. I'm not certain, however, how you can be heaven-bound and walk away from the purposes of God. But sometimes we miss it. Can anybody besides me say amen to that? Sometimes we miss it. That's what grace is for. Thank God we get to repent. But I'm talking about as a body of Christ and as a nation being online, the right tool in God's hand. And I believe that's what we want to be. And I think we ought to look seriously at what that means to us this morning. We are not the master of our own destiny, but He is the master. Have we yielded to His plan and purpose? Let's go to some scripture, and I'll take them one at a time, Pat. Thank you so much. Ecclesiastes 3:1. And I'd like you to read these out loud. If you don't want to, fine, I'll read them for you. But normally, and there will be a time that I'll have you turn to your own scriptures in your own Bible. I want you to look in your own Bible. But I don't want us to miss these scriptures this morning. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. I'll be reading from the New King James. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. The Hebrew for that word purpose is kephets. Kephets. And it literally means pleasure, desire, that which is a valuable thing to God. This is something that matters. Are you about the business of something that matters? Now, you look at me all day long and say, but Kevin, I'm retired. I don't need to worry about my career. I'm not a young buck. I'm an aging doe, or whatever you want to say. No, that's not me. I don't have to do all this. Listen, folks, this has nothing to do with age, has nothing to do with career. It has everything to do with being God's people and being who He has called you to be. How many know He's not done with you yet? Say amen. Amen. How many are feeling old? Don't raise your hand. A few of us, yes, after lifting cabinets. I'm feeling a little older myself this morning. But God's not done with us. He's got a plan. Acts 11, verse 23. Talking about God's prophetic purpose this morning. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Now that purpose in the New Testament, Hebrew in the Old Testament, Greek in the New, of course, that's prophesis. Prophesis. Say with me the word prophesis. That means a setting forth. The intended purpose and intention. Prophesis. With prophesis of heart. With that setting forth of your intended purpose. You should continue with the Lord. Romans 8, verse 28. We all know this verse. Great verse. We love to quote it. It comes right out of the promise box, but it's pregnant with meaning. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. This is a little identifier further of who qualifies for this, though, in this next phrase. To those who are the called according to His purpose. Prophesis. What is His purpose? One of them is to be conformed to His image. How many know when you got saved, Jesus didn't let you alone, just go on your own way. Sometimes He just won't leave me alone. Isn't that a good thing?
Yes.
He wants us to be like Him. Holy. Perfected. Like Jesus. Ephesians 1, verse 4, out of the King James. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be, please say the phrase with me, holy and without blame before Him in love. Ephesians 5, verse 27. Next several verses, again from King James. That He might present it to Himself a glorious church. What kind of church?
Glorious.
Come on, boom it out to me. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Colossians 1, verse 22. In the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Okay. Did you ever mess up? Come on, fess up. Did you ever mess up?
Yeah.
After you messed up, if you have any conscience, how do you feel? Oh, bad. It's not even a good bad. It's just a yucky bad. You know, have you ever been like me, go, I wish I hadn't done that. Oh, gee. You know, it's full of shame. I said something stupid to someone the other day. I know you're shocked by that. I said something stupid, not mean-spirited, not wrong-spirited, just I hadn't thought about it, you know, and I should have thought about what I said first, and I answered too quickly on an issue, and I started kicking myself. Shame, contempt. Pastor Sherry has a powerful lesson on shame and contempt. But shame and contempt makes you go inward, destroys your soul, doesn't it? Come on, ever been like that? Oh, what a doofus. What a dummy. You... Dummy. And I know you never think stronger than that in your own mind. You do, and then you go, nobody heard that. I repent, Lord, forgive me. I have the mind of Christ. I was driving down the road and feeling bad, and I began to quote a scripture. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. It's the only way at that particular moment I pulled myself out. It wasn't even that big of a deal. It was not World War III earth-shattering. Just stupid. But let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Lord, so now use this to help me think, grow, learn, be unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Now, called according to His purpose means words like surrender, cooperation, yielding to Him. As He changes us to be more like Him. Are you having fun yet? Each of you knows the area where Jesus is at work. I do not need to belabor the point this morning. Whether it's attitude, whether it's gossip, resentment, forgiving someone else, holding your tongue, praising instead of backbiting or complaining, obedience to Jesus in some area. Listen, I have watched people that I have known my whole adult life destroy their lives because they get upset at people and absolutely will not let it go. Folks, you gotta get a grip, you gotta get over it, and you gotta get on with life. Get a grip, get over it, and get on with it. Say amen or no. Doesn't matter what the issue is. If you're still wrestling with the same issue with God that you've been wrestling with for years and years and years, you need to repent. God's got a bigger business for you to be about, Kevin said with a sweet spirit. But it's true, isn't it? Church, we live sometimes for small purposes. You've all heard the story of the huge whale who beached himself and destroyed his life because he was chasing the small plankton. The little things that the whales go for. Killed this great big enormous whale. Chased his little things right through to the shore. Lost his life. Church, are you ever like that? Are we? It's easier if I preach. Are you ever like that, you sinners? Sure, we're like that sometimes. We need to get a grip. We need to get over it. And we need to get on with living. God's got serious, serious business and some great days ahead, folks. We're not coming to an end. We're coming to a new beginning. God has great things in store. But it's a serious transition time that we must face. All right, how does Christian growth go? We receive His love, His forgiveness, His mercy. Then He changes us and He begins this work, this transition work of conforming us to His image. then we become better vessels in His hands or tools for His purpose. In simple sentences, that sums up the work of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ for thousands of years. Is that what He's doing in you too? Sure. Grace Christian Center, we've had a lot of joy together and we'll continue to have joyful days. We are saved by grace. We've spent time in Acts and Luke and history. We've spent time in intimacy with Jesus and Galatians and Colossians. But I ask you this morning, are you ready for a closer walk and a more obedient walk to Jesus than where we've been so far? Grace Christian Center, are you sold out to His purposes or your own? Commitment is a word that the body of Christ and America knows little about anymore. How many in this room, show of hands, served in the military? Okay? Now, this isn't denigrating that at all. How many were Boy Scouts? Okay. All right, good. How many were Cub Scouts? I'll get there. How many were Girl Scouts? How many were Brownies and Bluebirds? How many were Sparrows? Are there Eagles in the room? No. No, Sue didn't hear that. I'm not telling. Okay, no. One of the fundamental facets of virtually everything we've talked about and I asked about in the military service, etc., is a word called loyalty, commitment, honor, service beyond yourself. Church, can you agree with me there is little of that in our country anymore? Amen. Now let's just talk philosophy. Short-term thinking versus long-term thinking. How many understand America has gone from a filet mignon mentality to a burger, and not too good a one at that? I want it, and I want it quick. We want everything to be that way. Whether it's sex outside of marriage, or how about war? We want quick antiseptic wars. We want a 90-day action. We don't want a 7-year war. Now, as I stand before you, I'm not pro-war. Okay? I'm not. But I am pro taking action against those that want to kill me. I believe, America, if we do not wake up, this war on terror that we are engaged upon, and I don't care whether or not you like President Bush. As Christians, it doesn't matter whether or not you like President Bush. You are called to pray for that man as our leader. And we'd better watch our own spirits lest God judge us. I don't care if it's Bill Clinton. The same call was ours for prayer. It doesn't matter. Our leaders in Congress are the leaders that have been voted there. Are they all perfect? Church, are they all perfect?
No.
Are you?
No.
All right. They need prayer. We are engaged in a war on terror. Have there been mistakes? Yeah. Have there been issues? Yeah. The liberal media would love to have you believe that the whole predication for our being there is a lie. I'm not here to say whether it is or not. I am there to say our men and women in military are over there. They deserve our prayer, our support. And while they're there, how many realize that in our country, we no longer even talk of victory. The talk is loud and clarion about run with your tail between your legs, but it won't stop terror. I'm not all for us being over there. I'm not. I'm not a warmonger this morning. But I don't want to see body bags in our own streets and people blowing up themselves and suicide bombers in our own streets. I'd rather pray for those in leadership, support our military men and women who are out doing things that we're not doing, and I'd rather take a strong stance for America. You better get back to God lest we lose our destiny altogether. Church, we are in serious avenues and serious days. And if we insist on playing games with our walk with God, we will not be the right tool in God's hand.
Amen.
These are serious days. Whether or not you like what I'm going to say, and I'm going to say a wide variety of things this morning, You need to understand that my call is to please Jesus this morning and not to please those who don't like what I'm going to say. I must find myself looking face to face with Jesus Christ, saying, Lord, I did what I could do to try to bring a reality to what is happening to your people. If I don't say some of the things that need to be said this morning, we will be asleep and we will miss the day of our visitation. You go to the Scripture and there are people who miss the day of visitation. Next week, we're going to spend time taking a look at 10 virgins. 5 wise, 5 foolish. 5 full of oil, 5 lost the anointing altogether, which means they had anointing and oil at one point. Church, it's time for our response to God. Gee, lighten up. Nope, not gonna. We have relationship with Jesus and with each other, and we must trust that foundation. But the times of ignorance, God no longer winks at, the Bible says. We must sit up and pay attention. Church, the world is hurtling forward to fulfill time plans and purposes. The kinds of choices you make in the next months will determine your future in the Lord. I said, the kinds of decisions you make in the next months will determine your future in the Lord. Works, works, works. No, cooperation, cooperation. That's what I'm talking about. Nudge each other in the arm and say, pay attention. Listen careful. God's talking. We've basked in the grace of God and we'll continue to do so. We can be motivated by love, joy, and peace, but folks, I want you to understand the Bible has a very straightforward scripture. The fear of the Lord brings what? Wisdom. Let's go to some more scripture, Pat. That very same verse, Psalm 111, verse 10. Say it out loud with me, please, church. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. 1 Chronicles 12:32. The children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. How many believe God gives discernment to His people to understand the purposes and the times on which we are embarked? Ezekiel chapter 48 verse 11. It shall be for the priests of the sons of Zadok, who are sanctified, who have kept my charge, who did not go astray when the children of Israel went astray, as the who? Wait a minute. The people of God, even some teachers, even some great people, go astray if their hearts aren't lined right with God. Okay. How many have ever used a Phillips screwdriver? Just break it down. Break it down real simple. Use a Phillips screwdriver on a straight edge screw. Right? Man, oh man, you work that baby, you work that baby, work that baby, and all you get are calluses and blisters. And a scarred up table and a messed up screw. Wrong tool. For the purpose. God has you as a tool in His hand. Will you allow Him to refine you for the purpose that He has set you for? Lord, line me upright. Come on, let's say it. Lord, line me upright. Daniel chapter 11, verses 32 to 35. Talk about prophetic purpose. Watch this. With flattery, He will corrupt those who have violated the covenant. Speaking of enemies. But the people who know their God will firmly resist Him. Verse 33, those who are wise will instruct many. Though for a time they will fall by the sword or be burned or captured or plundered. When they fall, they will receive a little help. And many who are not sincere will join them. Some of the wise will stumble, so that they may be refined, purified, made spotless until the time of the end, for it will come at an appointed time. Every time we do doofus things, allow God to use it to refine you, to remake you, to correct you, to adjust you, so you learn how to walk better. That's what it's all about, isn't it? There's a purpose. God's not after our stumbling, but if you stumble, there's grace. But don't just turn your back on the lesson. Allow God to refine you through it. Say amen, church. Now, I want you to think nationally as well as personally. I'm just laying a scriptural foundation. Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his... I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Enemies to be at peace with him. We in much peace right now? Let's go to our next verse, Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach. The New American Standard Bible, a disgrace to any people. I want you to say that out loud, really loud with me. Boom it out so they hear you down at the condos. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach, a disgrace to any people. And 2 Chronicles 7:14, please. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal. Literally means to mend, to cure their land. All right, let's bring this to our day today. I've got a few things to say about Memorial Day and then some other thoughts. Memorial Day was officially proclaimed on May 5th of 1868 by General John Logan, who was the national commander of the Grand Army of the Republic. It was first observed on the 30th of May in 1868 when flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. And the first state to officially recognize the holiday was New York in 1873. By 1890, it was recognized by all of the northern states. Actually, General Logan observed the Confederate states honoring their war dead for a couple of years prior to bringing it home for the Union soldiers. The South actually refused to acknowledge the day, honoring their dead on separate days until after World War II, or World War I, rather, I'm sorry. Then the holiday changed, and you heard Pastor Carl refer to it this morning. The holiday changed from honoring the military dead on a particular day to making it convenient to have a three-day economic holiday. As a country, the Bible says, forget not your landmarks. Church, we have forgotten our landmarks, our heritage, our Christian heritage in our nation, and rarely does Memorial Day receive the kind of honor that it should for those men and women who have died spilling their blood on our behalf. How many are grateful for them who have? Church, we're here this morning in this kind of freedom because we have men and women, all thousands throughout history, who have lost their lives on our behalf. They're worthy of our support and our prayer, and I know you know that. Memorial Day. What's it for? What's it for? Quick summation. American casualties in war. 4,400 lost their lives in the American Revolution. 2,200 or 2,300 in the War of 1812. The Mexican War, nearly 13,300. The Civil War, Union forces lost 646,512 people just on the Union side. The Confederate forces, 133,821. The Spanish-American War, nearly 2,500. World War I, nearly 117,000 died. World War II, 407,000 died. Korean War, 36,512. In Vietnam, 58,193. The Persian Gulf War, the short-lived war, American casualties were 148. The War on Terrorism, which began on October 7, 2001, following an atrocious attack in which over 3,000 people lost their lives, lest we forget, in the Towers attack. 3,000 lost their lives in that, over 3,000. Total fatalities so far in Iraqi Freedom, 3,426. In Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan, 387. Those figures were updated just yesterday. Church, we get to be among those and need to be among those who do not allow them to have died in vain. God have mercy on our land. I want you to pray this phrase with me. Lord Jesus, give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to respond to you. In our nation, we have adopted short-term thinking, and we have borne reproach because of it. Dan, you fought in Vietnam. Are others in here served in Vietnam? Okay, yes, several. You served in Vietnam. We won every battle in that war. But the political winds changed at home. And consequently, support waned for our men and women in military. And we treated you and them atrociously, shamefully. We brought reproach upon ourselves. We have now passed through about 40 years of reproach. Now, thankfully, there was a Gulf War, and there was a different day in which the soldiers and men and women were honored in our nation. Patriotism became something to venerate instead of something to denigrate. But we are on the verge again, after an attack on 9/11 that killed thousands of our people, of allowing the tide to shift again in America. Has nothing to do with whether or not you support President Bush and his cause. It has everything to do whether or not you trust God and are asking Him to grant protection and victory over a spirit of terrorism. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There is a demonic spirit loosed in the globe of Islamic fascism that is dedicated to the destruction of Christians and of America and of Israel. There is a dedication to wiping us off the face of the planet. You can turn tail and we can turn away from the conflict. I don't like to see our young men and women dying either. But we can release terrorism to continue, or we can do our best to put a stop to it. I don't like war. I'm not a warmonger. But we need to first of all hit our knees in prayer and say, oh God, forgive us for turning against you. Forgive us for allowing reproach in our nation. And God, grant us victory over a demonic spirit that's loosed in the land. Loosed on the globe. Grant us success. You can put your head in the sand and say it matters not. But the war will be waged no matter what, somewhere. I would rather travel these streets and be safe. Call me selfish. I would rather travel our streets and be safe. But it is only God who will keep a nation safe. What you believe determines how you live. The fascist spirit is worse than the Nazi spirit released that led to World War II. It is dedicated without a spirit of mercy and forgiveness. It is dedicated to destroying your life. As your pastor, as a congregation, we are pro-Israel. I still believe, we believe the Bible teaches the Jewish people are God's chosen people. And where you line up, the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I find myself doing that, and as Christians, that is what we should do. You watch throughout history, those that have turned against and not blessed Israel, but cursed it, were instead cursed themselves. Are they perfect? Do they need the Messiah? Turn to Romans chapter 11, if you would, please. This congregation is pro-Israel. Romans chapter 11. Verse 17, and I'm going to read quite a number of scriptures for you. Romans 11, verse 17. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. That's why we are called a Judeo-Christian nation. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. Say amen. Amen. For if you were cut off out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. How many understand the dispersion had occurred by this time? The dispersion had occurred. There were 10 tribes judged. There were nations. There was still a nation of Israel. But Paul is still speaking of his burden regarding natural Israel. I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest it should be wise in your own opinion that hardening in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the Deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, or they may also obtain mercy. Through the mercy shown you, they may also obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that He may have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Folks, it's a mystery. But God is in charge. Lest we walk in a haughty spirit, we need to find ourselves aligning with the purposes of God. What do we do? What can we do? Church, what can we do? Pray. Look at each other and say the word, pray. Pray. We've got to be stewards and citizens of our nation, and we've got to pray. We've got to be God's people, and we've got to pray. You say, I'm too old to do the young buck stuff. Been there already, haven't I, this morning? Pray. It's all our call to pray. The purpose of God is beyond what we are living. We need to respond and line up for His blessing. We used to use an old phrase. Everybody, eye up here. Remember the old phrase? 30, 40 years ago, you got to get under the spout where the glory comes out. Got to get under the spout where the glory comes out. How many understand the purposes of God are far more than just a little glory splashing on you, though? We've got to still align with God if you want the glory. All right, let's hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I want to do some quotes from an article. I want you to punch each other if anybody starts to doze. I want you to listen. I really do. Because I think it's wise for us to pay attention. What happened in Iraq? C. Peter Wagner is a missiologist who has watched and written a myriad of books on what is happening in the body of Christ. A recent question came to him about what happened in Iraq, and he's summarized it in four simple points that I think, whether or not you agree with politics, this isn't a politics message this morning. This is a God message. What is He calling of us, for us, as a prophetic purpose? The quote goes like this. The new plan was moving forward for our nation, but we were on thin ice. If we moved out of time of God with wrong revelation, we could crash and a whole nation could be severely damaged. This is a particular vision that was given. The Spirit of God began to speak. I have a clear plan for America. This is a different apostolic and prophetic person. I'm calling the body of Christ into a new mature strength. I'm calling my people into intercession now. How many can intercede and pray? Should see both hands go up. I'm calling my people to pray for the civil government of this land. I'm a God who puts leaders in place. I've positioned the leadership of this nation for such a time as this. Unless my people pray, the plan will not be in firm place to advance. Timing is everything, is the point here. If my people who are called by my name will pray, not only will I heal and secure their land, but from their land I will touch the world in an incredible way. The dream was linked with the war on terror and how it's being executed. Now, see Peter Wagner's points when the question was asked, what's happening in Iraq? He said, I agree Saddam Hussein was an international criminal who deserved to be removed and punished. George Bush the father should have and could have removed him. George Bush the son did the job. Whether you agree with that, he's now out of office. All right. However, the design for rebuilding Iraq was flawed from the beginning. Four questionable assumptions. Hang in there with me. First questionable assumption that we took was that the government of a nation like Iraq could move from a dictatorship to a democracy in a relatively short time as long as there's a superior military force to impose a new government. That was our perspective. How many believe that's happening? Of course it's not. Transition from totalitarianism to freedom is extremely slow. One that's longer than the patience of America can handle. Number two. Second questionable assumption is that Iraq is a nation and that Iraqi nationalism would trump any international, cultural, and religious differences. How many remember Iraq had arbitrary lines drawn up for its border? It's actually a tribe of three people groups or three different tribes that make up the borders of Iraq. It's a pseudo-nation, not created by the will of its own people, but boundaries that were imposed from the beginning by outside forces. And when you go to tribes, the tribe's loyalty to the tribe is far greater than the national boundary or border arbitrarily drawn. Are you tracking with me? Yes. Try to create one nation from the Germans, the French, and the Spanish. How many think that would work real easily? Third questionable assumption was that democracy and free national elections would produce a strong national leadership. Do you realize that under Saddam Hussein there was no second in command, really? There was no strong leadership. And so there was a vacuum that took place. Shiites are the majority in their leadership with no virtually past experience of leading a nation. They will take charge in a democratic election, but they won't be accepted by the other tribes. Do you see why there's a problem? The fourth questionable assumption, and this is one that's crucial, and then I'm going to get on with another point. Folks, politically correct visionary talk, non-visionary talk, politically correct talk, is that Allah is just another name for God. That is a lie. Allah is a demonic spirit, and it is a murderous spirit that is loosed in the land to kill and to destroy any infidel. Now, we had a few years ago one of the missionaries to these lands. Listen, I love Muslims. I've told you about my own struggle. God loves them. We love them. That's not the point this morning. The point is recognition for your prayer. We take authority not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers that have deceived. This man is a missiologist, served around the world. Allah is a high-ranking demonic spirit who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. As long as the Iraqi people worship him, he has the legal right to accomplish vile purposes in their nation. Political correctness may attempt to deny the spiritual reality. It only plays into the hands of the evil principalities and powers over the nation that was called Babylon. You recognize it was Babylon, right? All right. Enough on that one. But what's happening? The last 5 years, there's been an astronomical movement in prayer. I'm saying all of that because God has a purpose and a timetable. And we are coming, hurtling toward the end of the ages. And this is no small little conflict taking place. It is a demonic clash. And forces of righteousness have opportunity. Church, we have opportunity to pray if we will pray. How many say amen, Kevin? I'll pray. Amen. We have an opportunity. In the year 2000, there was a huge prayer movement that focused on the 1040 window. You've heard of the 1040 window. And it was the kinds of countries that were involved in the New Testament time period. And it celebrated in the year 2000 5,000 participants gathered to worship in the Ephesus Amphitheater for 4 hours, praise and worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that may not sound like something much. 62 nations were involved in this prayer and worship time in Ephesus Amphitheater in the year 2000. During this mission time, and this prayer mission time where the focus was on the 1040 window, unreached people groups moved from 1,700 in our world to 500. Listen, church, I know you're quiet on that, but the whole point of that is this. The Bible says every person must hear the gospel. And so the burden of missionaries and people in prayer and people carrying the word of God is that there be no unreached people groups, that they all have a Bible in their language so they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you think your prayers accomplish nothing, it's like saying your vote accomplishes nothing. How many believe if you were for Al Gore, he wishes at least another 200 people had voted for him? However many. Came awfully close, didn't it? One vote makes a difference. One prayer can make a huge difference. From 1,700 people groups down to 500. All right, since then, at the end of 1999 and around that time, the prayer shifted from the 1040 window to the 4070 window. And that's a window of countries across the globe where you hit your lineage and the lines across. And it encompassed all of Europe. Those countries that became immensely religious, there had been a former move of God there, but not much now. And so they began to pray and focus prayers, and apostolic and prophet ministries were connecting and praying. And now there's a focus on the 9/11 window. And the 9/11 window is where most of the Muslims on the earth live, and the region where Muslim activity is advancing most rapidly. Church, it is up to us to pray and release the movement of the Spirit. This is Pentecost Sunday. How many want the Spirit of God to sweep the earth? Amen. The Bible says He'll fill this earth with His glory as the waters cover the sea. Apostles are praying. Prophets are praying. People are praying. Intercessors literally are birthing the future of the move of God. There's an army of spiritual warriors doing warfare with those things that are coming against the truth of Jesus Christ. There is a new level of strategic praying. We are finding multitudes going to the Muslim lands, loving the Muslims, praying for them. I'm not speaking about a spirit of anger with these people. I'm talking about an anger with the spirit that controls, and we're binding that spirit, taking authority over it, and releasing the gospel to go forth. It's a huge thing. Major prayer themes to go into the port cities of America. Why do you think that's important since 9/11? Major focuses on prayer and carrying the gospel to the Muslim countries, carrying it to every state in our nation. Do you know there are huge prayer networks of people gathering in every single state of our nation? Do you understand that Washington State is the least state, churched state in the nation? Washington State, the least churched state in the nation. Transformation comes when we align ourselves with the mind of Christ and we focus our prayers. So we want to pray for the Muslims in our nation, in our states, to bring light and life to them. And now let me tell you about something that is beginning tomorrow. And I believe that you have opportunity to be a part, and so do I. If I didn't say anything this morning, you can sit there and say, he's just really going on and on this morning. I'm very burdened. I want you to know, and I'm just going to tell you this, as I contemplated this message this morning, the Spirit of God kept me awake almost all night as I entered into prayer. You know, when you wake up at 12:30 Then you roll over and you're still awake and it's 2:30. And then it's 3:30 and you keep praying. I believe the Lord is going to give us such times as that. I don't care what your age is. Some of you already can't sleep well at night. Just pray. Or if your partner starts to snore, hit them and say, come on, get up and pray with me. Over the 4th of July, Global Harvest Ministries is holding an International Congress on Prophecy in Orlando. But 2 days prior to that gathering, there are thousands of teams from every state gathering in Nashville. I feel called to Nashville every now and then. These gatherings could literally change the course of America. These gatherings are asking us to spend the next 40 days focusing our prayer and fasting. Maybe some can just drink water. Maybe some can drink juice. Maybe some a Daniel fast where you just skip cherry pie for the next 40 days. Or you give up your French fries. I'm not trying to make it light. Whatever God puts in your heart, church, I urge you. Let us as a church enter into prayer. And then you say, well, Kevin, will the church be open? No, nope. I want you to create, not that the church won't be open, but I want you to create an altar right in your own home. We'll be together Wednesday nights. We'll be together Sunday morning. It's more important that you create an altar right in your own home. I don't care if it's 5 minutes a day where you stop what you're doing and turn the TV off and turn the media off and put aside the newspaper and you take your Bible out and you spend some time in prayer. I'm going to give you some topics to focus prayer on this morning. But over the next 40 days, I believe we have opportunity to be involved in something that's going to literally change our nation. How many want to be involved? How many want to see our nation changed? Even if we see a turn from sexual perversion and pornography, even if we shut off the televisions and the kind of trash that's coming out in our nightly garbage sets. And I'm not saying I have a television, but choose to turn certain things off. We've got to become the people of God that we are intended to be, the right tool in God's hands. You know what the issues are, but it's time, church, to seize the day. Turn to each other, say, seize the day. Beginning the evening of May 28th, two generations are called to 40 days of fasting and prayer, and it will finish on 7-7-07. July 7-07. In Bible numerics, 7 is the number of completion. Only once in this generation is that date going to come around. And it's time to pray. A massive national gathering of fasting, intercession, repentance, and worship, declaring as its main purpose that as a body of Christ and as a nation, we want to remarry the Lord. Folks, I think that's powerful. To remarry the Lord. We want to cross over into the promised land of national revival. We want to break the 40-year curse that's been on us. Moses fasted 40 days and mentored a spiritual son named Joshua, which means the Lord saves. Elijah fasted 40 days through his mantle for a double portion on a son in the faith, Elisha, which means the Lord saves. John the Baptist fasted in the desert and prepared the way for a double portion son named Jesus, and his name means the Lord saves. Jesus fasted 40 days and unleashed the apostolic glory of the Son of God into the earth. Folks, what can 40 days of prayer accomplish? A world of things. A new beginning for the church. A new beginning for our nation. Amen. How many want to be a part? I want to be a part. Repenting. Cleansing ourselves of inward toleration of the wrong sexual, sinful addiction, entertainment, materialistic, attitudinal problems. Praying daily for yourself and your children. Praying that God will bring revival right here in Port Ludlow. That a double portion of the Spirit will fall. How many want a double portion of the Holy Spirit to fall? Sin produces reproach. Reproach, dishonor, shame, blame, discredit. Favor brings pleasure, delight. One is desired. When God is pleased with us, His favor rests upon us. When we step in an onslaught of sin, we bring God's disfavor instead of favor. We bring God's disapproval instead of approval. And we need to repent of those things as a country to receive a lifting of the reproach and a releasing of the favor of God. May 28th to July 7th, let us focus our prayers. Church, let us pray. The prophetic purposes of God, even if it's 5 minutes a day. Pat, would you come back and let's put up that last scripture. We read the first part. Let's read the whole thing in context now. Yeah, up a little lower. Thank you, hon. Verse 14 through 16. If my people, say it with me, please, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God forbid that we should cease in praying for our nation. God forbid that we should allow the blood that's been shed to have been shed in vain. God forbid. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Let us pray, brethren. Sisters, let us pray. We can forego a little of the world to gain a lot more of God and His purposes. And all the people said, amen. Right at your own tables, I want you to gather for a few minutes of prayer, and I want us to put up these topics. What can you pray for? Our troops, for their protection and their safety. Regardless of political wrangling, folks, our troops deserve our support and our prayers. I don't want to see our young men and women losing their lives or becoming maimed. I think it's an atrocious thing. But I do believe we can ask God to protect and keep them. We need to pray for our leaders. God calls us to pray for our leaders. Shame on us for as much bad, wicked mouthing as we do when we should be hitting our knees an awful lot more. Pray for victory against terrorism and terrorists. Pray for a lifting of the reproach. Pray for a right alignment with God. Pray for healing of our land. Pray for revival in America and around the world. Can you do it? Brethren, let us pray. Sisters, let us pray. I believe it is the prophetic purpose of God. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Lord, we believe the petitions we've asked of you. We believe your ear is not closed and your hand is not shortened. Lord God, we thank you that you've brought these things to our spirit, not to chasten us with condemnation, but with conviction so that we choose to change. We repent, O God, before you for our land. We repent before you for the things in which we've turned aside. And Lord, we humble ourselves and turn from our own wicked ways. And we ask you to pour out the blood of the Lamb from one end of our nation to the other, O God. Let revival break out in America. Let revival break out around the world, O God. Fill this earth with your glory as the waters cover the sea. Now, Lord, we say yes. Let's stand before the Lord, shall we? We say yes to you, Lord. We say yes. We'll join with tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of praying Christians all across this land over these next 40 days and every day thereafter afterwards. But for these next 40 days, we'll join in this focused prayer, praying, O God, that you'll protect and heal and move and bring great revival. Oh God, let our own destiny, the destiny of our nation, let it not be lost, but wash us clean by the blood of Jesus. Now bless each one this morning that's come here. Lord, we go out with the fear of the Lord that brings wisdom, but great love. Lord, we pray for the Muslim people this morning, their eyes to open and ears to understand. We rebuke the spirit of fascism that's released in a terrorist spirit. We rebuke that in Jesus' name. But Lord, we go out with the love of Jesus Christ and cause there to be great revival in this 9/11 window. And Lord God, do what only you can do. We can carry forth your presence, your love, and your life
that we choose to do so. Now bless each one that's risen early to come to your house. Bless them this day as they've been here, and we go forward, changed people, more like you than ever before. We love you, Lord Jesus. And all the people said, amen. Love you guys. Have a fantastic day in the Lord. And continue to encourage each other. We're going to run after Him together. God bless.